Wonderful, wonderful. So we're going to land our encounter series today, conclude it. We've looked at a number of individuals over the last couple of weeks, and many of them had a dramatic encounter. It wasn't a couple of encounters, it was a dramatic encounter. Some left completely unhappy and unchanged. The majority of the people that had a dramatic encounter with Jesus left completely transformed. Today we're going to look at a hot-headed influencer. That's the buzzword these days. Eh? I'm an influencer. This guy was an influencer on steroids. He was such an influencer, he was hot-headed Peter with a foot-shaped mouth. He had many, many encounters with Jesus. And please hear this. We're going to focus on one specific encounter in Peter's life that completely transformed him. So even though Peter had so many different encounters, it's possible that you still miss Jesus. And I had this picture this morning. Many people have this relationship with Jesus. It's restricted to the ink on the pages of the Gospels in the New Testament. It's like a head knowledge of Jesus. And someone, I think Josh said it this morning, Jesus didn't come to give us a head knowledge of him. He came to give us a relationship. It was Peter, remember, who said, "You the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Remember that? Can I just say this? Not enough just to believe. It's not enough just to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're going to see this in Peter. It was not enough. James says this, even the demons believe that and they shudder. So it's not enough. It's not enough. It wasn't enough for Peter. It's good, and it has to start there, but there's far more for us. And I want to ask you this question as I land this series today. Have you had an encounter with Christ over the last 6 weeks? Have you had an encounter that has transformed an aspect of your life over the last 5 weeks? Or you're just like a mouse or a rat or one of those hamsters on the wheel, you know? You come to church, come back, and it's like you're just getting tired, but there's very little movement. I'm in the same place. And I don't think God wants that for you. He wants you to have radical encounters that actually begin to change who you are. He came to rescue you from yourself. And so we're going to look at this in the life of Peter. It's not enough. And I think Josh said this, he nailed it this morning. He said, actually, it's a process. And so Peter went through a process of many little encounters, but there was one encounter which literally completely transformed who Peter was. And I think that's what God wants for every single human being. Many people get stuck in the rut of religion where you come to Jesus, listen, have great knowledge and get puffed up with Jesus in your head, but he wants to transform our hearts. He wants to bring life. He didn't come to give you a little snack. That was the problem with the disciples. And the many that were so-called followers of Jesus left him when he said, actually, you've got to feed on me. This is too hard. I just want a snack. Now you say, I've got to feed on Jesus? You've got to live on Jesus. He becomes your life. Jesus becomes your life. So Peter's one of the heroes of the Bible. He was born and grew up in Galilee. His family came from a little town called Bethsaida, but he moved at some point to Capernaum. That's where Jesus anchored a lot of his ministry from, this little town in Capernaum. But Peter met Jesus when both of them were visiting Jerusalem. It was quite a long way in those days. It would be like walking to, I guess, maybe to like George or somewhere. It's pretty far, maybe halfway to Cape Town. But they were in Jerusalem. That's where Peter and Jesus met for the first time. Later, Peter was actually chosen to become one of Jesus' 12 disciples, his apostles. Peter was married. He's one of the few of the 12 apostles who were actually married. And so if you're married here and you're married to an impetuous, hot-headed influencer, you're going to learn some things about your husband or maybe it's your wife, I don't know. You can relate. But Peter ended up using Peter's mother-in-law, his home, as a base when he did his ministry in Galilee. He was a natural leader, this guy, a natural leader. You know, some are leaders are born, some are like changed and become leaders. I actually believe most of us need to go through this one. But this guy was a born leader. He had this leadership gift. It says of him in Galatians, he was like a pillar like a pillar, like one of these pillars holding up the roof of the church in Jerusalem. That's Peter, this guy. He used Rome as his headquarters for probably the last 25 years of his life until he died at the hands of Nero. The Roman Emperor Nero was a little bit of a twisted guy, and he was losing control of his empire, and so he decided to burn down his own city and blame the Christians and start to kill all the Christians so he would look good and get power again. Can you imagine doing that? So many Christians died at the hands of Nero. Peter was one of these guys. Just bear that in mind as we go through his story. That's how his life ended. But he traveled a lot. He took his wife along with him, and he visited places like Corinth and Antioch, many, many miles away from where he grew up. He did not come from a famous or rich family. If you're not wealthy, if you didn't come from a wealthy, rich family, you're in good company. That's the kind of people Jesus chose to be his closest followers. He was not highly educated. So if you don't have a master's or a PhD degree from a prestigious university, you're in good hands. In fact, it says of Peter and his mates, they were unschooled. They probably left in grade 10. Anyone left in grade 10? You're in good hands. You're in good hands. You don't have to be educated to become an apostle or a follower or a disciple of Jesus. Actually, very quite ordinary people, if you want to use that word, if there's such a thing. You're not ordinary. But this guy, Peter, probably gets a little bit too much credit. You know when they talk about the pearly gates? It's always Saint Peter. It's like, that's not even in the Bible. Like, where does that come from? Some churches or denominations actually have turned Peter into a saint. That's probably where it comes from. Incorrectly, by the way, they've misinterpreted an important scripture. Who's with me there? You're Matthew 16, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking to Peter, right? Here's our first little bit of introduction. I tell you, you are Peter, Petros. Literally, that's the word, Petros. And on this rock, and I put in brackets there, Petra, just to tell you there's two different forms of the word. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you that where Jesus used the word Peter there, Petros, it's the masculine form of the word. I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew expert by any means. I've just read this and come to this understanding. But Jesus is referring to two different people. Do you see that? If not people, two different entities. He's not referring to the same person. So Jesus was not saying, hey, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you, which certain denominations, and I won't mention any names, have done that. And there's this line of all these dudes that come back from Peter. Jesus was not saying that, and so they've misinterpreted the scripture as being a man. Jesus is saying, in fact, that little word Petros means a small little stone cut away from something. A rock, a little rock. But the second one there, the Petra, the female form of the word, is a massive, what do we call it? A massive bedrock. It's not the same thing. And so what Jesus says in verse 17, because you've got to understand what he's saying here. In verse 17, he says, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Jesus is referring to the revelation of Christ as the bedrock. And you, being Peter, have had this revelation. And I will build my church on this revelation of who Christ is. And so when Peter says, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, that was revealed to you by my Father. And so the church is built on a revelation of Christ, the cornerstone. Peter had that. It's not built on Peter. So if you come from those kind of backgrounds, which I did, it's like a skewed version of what actually Jesus was saying. You need revelation of Christ. And when you have revelation of Christ, Jesus becomes the most important person in your life, not Peter. And so it kind of like very important that we don't mix that thing up. He's a colorful guy, this Peter, but he had many flaws. And I think some people can relate to him because of his weaknesses, not all his successes. Do you know that? Most of us connect with people because of their mistakes. And the things they don't get right, we can identify. He spoke too quickly. Some of you would identify with that. You have foot-shaped mouths. You just speak and then you think about it afterwards. It's like maybe your level of tact or be able to read emotional reading in the moments is like not quite there. This guy didn't have it. So if that's you, it's okay. Jesus will use you. Maybe some of you are angry. I know some of you have come to me and said, listen, I really struggle with my temper. This guy had a temper issue. He was highly competitive. I don't think there's anything wrong with being competitive, but when we start to compare, there's a problem. God doesn't want us to compare. But this guy was really competitive, and it caused a bit of trouble, by the way. Competitiveness, over-competitiveness can cause some problems. This guy had prejudice issues, Peter. Any of you got prejudice? Every single one of us have. And so he was a Jewish guy, and so what started happening is the non-Jewish people started to get saved, and they started to sit around the same tables and eat together. Peter couldn't handle this, because you know that it's unlawful for a Jew and a non-Jew to sit around the same table and eat together. And so Peter, when they all started mingling, he started to withdraw, and he started to live contrary to the gospel, and his good brother, Apostle Paul, came and gave him a good snort drop. Literally. You're not living in line with the gospel. So Peter walked with Jesus. He had all these revelations of Jesus, but there were a whole lot of things that he didn't understand about Jesus. He saw some amazing things. He saw saw Jesus walking on water. Have any of you seen Jesus walk on the water? I know with fake AI and all this stuff, anybody can do anything. But he literally saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus. Control over the creation, over the storms of life. Peter saw this and heard it for himself firsthand. Yet he didn't grasp the gospel. Peter saw people healed, even raised from the dead. Yet he did not understand the mission of Jesus. Peter saw Jesus transfigured, becoming like this heavenly being, glowing white, but he did not yet grasp and understand God's grace. Peter. You would think after going through all of these things, having all these mini encounters with Jesus, you would think that this man's faith would be like solid as a rock. Get the pun? Petros. But he wasn't. Let me tell you that this guy, Peter, his head knowledge failed him. You can't come to Jesus with head knowledge, friends. It may lead you towards him, but it cannot stay there. And Peter had to go through this thing of going from the head to the heart. Do you know that sometimes it's a very little distance, probably a centimeter, probably a ruler's length, but some of us have to go through huge amounts of things until the penny can drop. And this is Peter. He had a whole lot of head knowledge, but he had to grasp some stuff about Jesus in his heart. And can I just say this? Jesus wants your heart, not a portion of it. He wants your whole heart before him, and the risk is that you're going to see it get beaten by other people, by other things, but not by the great shepherd. He wants your heart. And so Peter goes on this journey. While he walked with Jesus, he did not understand the ministry of Jesus. Remember when Jesus said, came and he took off his garments, he wrapped a towel around him, and he started to wash his disciples' feet. Who was the guy that says, you're not going to wash my feet? Get out of here! Peter. He refused to allow Jesus to wash his feet. He did not understand that Jesus came to serve. He had this misconception that Jesus was going to become the king of Israel, and he was going to get rid of all the Romans and be a political leader, a leader like Donald Trump that has influence and power. When he speaks, the world listen. And Jesus says, I'm not that guy. And Peter thought that this was what he was meant to be. And so he refuses to have his feet washed. You shall never wash my feet. Never say never. It could never happen. And then Jesus says to him, Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, okay, not just my feet, wash all of me. And you know, he just didn't get it. Jesus said, I've not come here to wash you, your whole entire body. You're not a baby. I've come to serve you. I've come to model something of what it means to lay down your own life and to serve me, and to serve me as a servant. Jesus was a servant leader. Peter didn't understand it. He didn't read the moment. He's like the guy when the whistle blows, carries on playing like he's going to go score a try. Hey, guy, wake up. The whistle's blown. Can't you see? He's like, he's carrying on. It's like Peter did not understand his own spiritual immaturity. And Jesus knew that this would happen. I love this. Is Jesus knows your weaknesses. But he loves you too much just to let you carry on. He's going to make some plans. He's going to put someone else in your path, in the body, in the church. And so Matthew 26, look at this. He didn't understand his own spiritual maturity. Matthew 26, 31, 33, and 35. I've just shortened it a bit. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." He's quoting some Old Testament things about Jesus. He says, tonight I'm going to be stricken. I'm going to die. And all the sheep are going to leave and going to scatter. Peter said to him, even if all the people fall away, I will never deny you. Be very careful when you say never. Because in your mind, you've excluded any possibility, and he failed to see his own spiritual immaturity. He did not understand his own frailties. He had no idea where his own decisions were going to take him. Do you know that when people commit adultery, they didn't decide when they were 16 or 17 years old that one day, when I'm 37, I'm going to commit adultery. But slowly but surely, the decisions of their lives, the decisions they make, then one day, suddenly, at the age of 37, boom, they commit adultery, or they commit fraud. We have to have a self-awareness. And this is what I mean when I say Jesus came to rescue you from yourself. You have to have an encounter with Jesus that goes from the head into the heart so that you can actually see what's in there. Because one day you're going to make some decisions, and never say never. The best thing you can do is guard your heart. Jesus, show me, search me. Is there anything inside of me? Does that ring a bell? King David, a man after God's own heart. Peter didn't understand the death of Jesus. When Jesus told them that he was going to go to the cross, remember what Peter said? He said, "You will not die. I will not allow you to die." He told Jesus that. And Jesus had to say something quite drastic. "Get behind me, Satan." Can you imagine this? This is the Son of the Living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, who's now telling him, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Peter didn't understand why Jesus had to go to the cross. He had had encounters with Jesus, but he's coming to a point, Jesus is bringing to a place where he needs to have the encounter with the resurrected, risen Christ, where your life is completely transformed. God wants to take you from the ink of the pages of the Gospels. And he wants you to come to a place where Jesus confronts you and he begins to reveal himself to you and you become born again. Not get yourself ready. You in an instant have a revelation of the risen Christ and you are born again, as we preached last week. Here's Peter with fear and ignorance in the mouth of a man who speaks before he thinks. His lack of understanding and the arrest of Jesus threw Peter into an absolute crisis of his faith. He ran for cover. He became a coward, if you want to call it that, when Jesus was arrested and when all the things were happening all around him. When he said, "I will never deny you," and then he said, "I don't know that man, I don't know that man, I don't know that man." Absolutely struck. "I said I would never do this." He has this revelation. Jesus looks across. Marius said this. He looks across and he sees him. Was it Marius or Conrad? Jesus doesn't say, "See, I told you." But Jesus did know. He had compassion on him. He looked at him and Peter was in absolute tears. He went against his own words. He denied Jesus. He sank into depression. He was overcome with fear. Why? He was the one who said, "You are the Messiah." You see, Peter saw Jesus as God, but so do the demons. It's not enough just to believe that Jesus is God, friends. You have to have an encounter with the Jesus who died, with the Jesus who was raised from the dead, and the Jesus who begins to impart his Holy Spirit into our lives. When you have this encounter with this Jesus, you will be transformed. And this is the encounter that God longs for everybody to come to, not just a knowledge in my head. I believe that Jesus was God. I believe that he was a good person. No, I have seen, I have heard, and I've come to that revelation that Jesus died for me in my place, so that I could be given a life that I could never live. And I could be filled with his very presence that lives with me, that leads me and guides me and shapes me into the likeness of Christ Jesus. If the Christian walk for you is about coming to church, you're missing Jesus. He's come to give you life to the full, not so that you can attend a meeting. Let's hone in on this specific example, this interaction that Jesus had. Mark chapter 16, Jesus has been crucified, he's been put in the grave, and it's now Easter Sunday. Do you know that Easter Sunday is not just a date in the calendar? Every day of our lives is a resurrection Sunday. And on that morning of the third day, the angel of the Lord tells Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and another lady called Salome. Amazing that Jesus actually sends his angel to the ladies. Ladies had absolutely no influence. People wouldn't believe them. And yet Jesus reveals himself to three ladies on the morning. The angel comes and he says, Jesus has risen. He is not here. In fact, he says to them, what are you doing looking for Jesus among the dead in the tomb? He is alive. He is not here. And then the angel says to them, see the place where they laid him. And maybe they had a quick look inside the tomb and they saw there's no Jesus there. And then the angel says to them, but go tell his disciples and Peter. What was the angel doing? He was speaking on behalf of Jesus because Jesus was still coming around to reveal himself to them, but the angel was his messenger, and he says to them, go and tell Peter that I am alive. Peter, the one who's in an absolute crisis, who's in depression, who's denied me, who's become a coward, who's run away from me, who feels like he's let me down, go please and tell Peter I am alive. Some of you need to hear that this morning. I don't know what your name is, but like an angel says, go and tell Peter. I hope that you in your spirit would say the name, say your name. Jesus is saying to you, I have come to reveal myself to you. Maybe you're like Peter, and you're going through a crisis of faith at the moment. You might know that Jesus is God, but not fully understand what he's done for you. And this morning, I want to say that God is calling your name. God, out of all the people in the entire universe, he says, go and tell Peter. That for me, friends, is an attention to detail about God's nature and God's heart for every single individual person. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your understanding is or how good you think you are or how bad you really are, it does not matter. God says, I am calling you by name. God made it clear to Peter. God wants to make it clear to every single one of us here, even in your crisis of faith, that you need an encounter with the risen Christ. The angel was saying, go and tell Peter, get himself ready. He is about to encounter the risen Christ. Not the pages of the Gospels in the New Testament where there's no relationship. Those pages and those stories in the Bible need to come to life through the Holy Spirit and bring revelation of who the risen Christ is that brings life. Not just a little snack. I come to church and a little bit of salt and pepper on my life so I can just get through the week. And I'll come back next week because I need a little bit more. I've run out and I need a little bit of. He's come to give you life. You're dead. You're either dead or you are alive. You are either in Christ or you are not in Christ. God doesn't leave it for you to figure it out and to hope for the best. He wants you to encounter him and have a life that is eternally changed. So Peter ends up running to the tomb. The ladies come and tell him, hey, Peter, the angel said you must go. Woo! So there's the competitive nature of John and Peter running, trying to outsprint each other. I can just imagine them like running. So I'm going to beat you there. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, John chapter 20. Both were running. We're about to do the Jonah series. They were running to God. Most people just run away. They've got no idea where they're running to. They know what they're running from. God wants you to know where to run to. They were running to the tomb, but the other disciple outran Peter. By the way, he's the guy writing the story, the other disciple. He outran Peter and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked at the strips of linen lying there, but he was a little bit of a bit scared. He did not go in. Now, Simon Peter, the guy we just learned about, Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head laid down. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, now he gets a bit of courage, who had reached the tomb first, just reminding us, I'm faster than Peter. He also went inside. He saw and believed. But look what it says, but just in those huckies. If you're English here, in the brackets, look what it says. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They're excited. The angel said, come and look, come and see. But they yet did not understand in their heart. Peter, of all the encounters he had, he still needed to meet the resurrected Christ. He had to have this encounter with the resurrected Christ. And Jesus was not going to give up on Peter. Jesus does not give up on any single one of us. Peter didn't understand the gospel, but everything changed when Peter encountered the risen Jesus. We see this in John chapter 20. His view of Jesus and the gospel right now changes. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, they're petrified because of what's going on. The fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus suddenly appears. He comes in and he stands among them and he says, peace be with you. Peter, with all his anxiety, with all his crisis, with all his worry and concern and fear, Jesus comes and says, Peter, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He says, look, I'm the guy that they put up on the cross. The disciples were overjoyed. Overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Some people get overjoyed when the Springboks beat the French. But come to church on Sunday and it's like, I don't know. To be honest, I cannot grasp it. I don't understand. I just think you need a revelation of the risen Christ. When you understand what he has done for you, it changes how you live. And Jesus again said, peace be with you. Some of you need the peace of the resurrected Christ. He's got you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins will be forgiven. What did Peter see and hear in that room behind the locked doors? Jesus said, Peter, you need my peace to have a relationship with the Father. To have a real and authentic and genuine relationship with the Father, you need to come to me and I will give you the peace so that your relationship with God the Father can be completely restored. You don't have to live in this place Peace is your portion, Peter. No longer turmoil, anxiety, and crisis. And so many Christians live with this place of anxiety and crisis, worrying about all kinds of things. And Jesus says, peace be with you. That is Jesus walking with you. I'm alive. He's saying to Peter, it's not your work. Peter was trying to be a good disciple, and Jesus was saying, it's not your work. I've wiped away the sin. I have forgiven you of your sin. In fact, I'm going to give you my spirit. So he breathes on him. And this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Paul says, is the same spirit that dwells inside you and I. Because Jesus has forgiven me, I can forgive someone else. If you struggle and harbor unforgiveness, it's something that you need to ask God to come and deal with in your heart. It's not about what the other person has done to you. No matter how bad or what it is, whether they're wrong or right, it's irrelevant. But unless you can understand that the risen Christ has forgiven you, you will not be able to forgive anyone else. Peter had to hear this. He had to receive this. Jesus is saying to him, Peter, you may have denied me, but your best efforts come to nothing. Some people need to give up on all your good efforts here this morning. Some of you need to come, as Peter did, and say, Jesus, I may have denied you, I may have turned away from you, whatever. He said, I want to come to you, the resurrected, risen Christ. I'm alive, Jesus says. I'm offering you forgiveness. It's not about your good efforts. It's not about you being a good disciple, about trying to discipline yourself into the kingdom of God. You don't deserve this, but I'm giving it to you. Peter was transformed in his view of his own call and ministry. This was now the third time, John 21. Third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he says, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. When you encounter the risen Christ, it is not a change in a status on a piece of paper. When you come to the risen Christ, you are commissioned by Jesus for a work that he has for you. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Not to come to church every Sunday. To follow Jesus means, Jesus, no matter what you say to me, no matter where you call me, no matter what you ask me to do, I will do it. Here I am. Send me. Jesus is commissioning Peter. He says, you coward, ran away. You denied me. He says, that's okay. I will take you into my family. I will receive you. I will give you my Holy Spirit. But I am commissioning you with purpose. Friends, if you want to live to accumulate wealth and money and raise good children in this life, that will not satisfy you. One has to understand that Jesus has a mission. And when you understand that actually his mission has a people, and when you come to the resurrected Christ, he says, I'm going to commission you, take care of people. The privilege of being able to lead God's people and to share the love of Christ with people and to lead them into the things that God has for them is the privilege of serving Jesus. Not I attend church on a Sunday and then I carry on living my own life. This dualistic thinking needs to go, friends. There's not my spiritual life and then there's the rest of my life. Jesus came to give you life. When we eat this biscuit and drink this blood, this is not just a little salt and pepper for your life. This is celebrating that something that Christ has done for you. And when you have this revelation of who he is, he says, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. I'm commissioning you into the mission that I have for you. He's not asking you to leave your job and go to seminary and become a pastor. He's asking you to be an ambassador of Christ in your workplace and wherever you find yourself. That is purpose. These were not a bunch of good guys applauding Jesus. Well done, well done. He was releasing and commissioning them into ministry. Peter was also transformed about a view of himself. I've run out of time. Basically, what Jesus says is, you're going to get old, Peter. Your eyes are going to fade. You're not going to be able to dress yourself. I absolutely love this. Jesus says, I've got you. Peter, you are going to dedicate the rest of your life to serve me, and you're going to get to an age where you cannot dress yourself and you cannot see things. You're going to be so old, but I've got your future in my hands. You may be young here. That may be meaningless to you. But go speak to some of the wise people with lots of gray hair in this room and ask them. When you start getting frail, when you start getting old, you're closer and closer to meeting the Lord. It's like life changes. You start to appreciate the fact that actually nothing can take you out of the hands of a mighty God because of what Christ has done. That's what Jesus was speaking to Peter. He had a view of himself that was absolutely radically transformed. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you.